Good morning, and welcome to the 2017 first quarter's financial results conference call of Celsia. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Ricardo Sierra, CEO of Celsia. Mr. Sierra, please go ahead.
Thank you, Samuel, and hello to everybody. Thanks for being today with us. As you may remember, last year we have worked arduously to recover the results of the company. We have managed the risk, and we have adapted to the challenges imposed by the weather, operational, and industry conditions. In parallel, and thinking in the long term, we have set up to be the pioneers or to lead conventional, renewable, non-conventional, renewable, and clean energies, taking the lead in a sector that is rapidly transforming. Results are encouraging, and the goals are challenging. So was acknowledged by our shareholders who joined us, and thanks God, they all came to the annual meeting that we had on March 27, and also those who joined us on the streaming. To all of them, we would like to thank them for their trust and support during the annual meeting. This year, we will continue leading the transformation of the sector on several fronts. As I mentioned, renewable and non-conventional energies, with the Solar Excelsia Jumbo of 9.9 megawatts as the first spearhead to reach 200 megawatts installed in solar farms, especially in Colombia and one little part in Panama. We are also going to promote the digital transformation in the sector, thanks to the development of mobile device applications, electronic invoices, and new experiences that we are bringing to our customers. Equally, we will make progress in the expansion of our distribution businesses through the execution of the Plan 5 Caribe projects that are becoming a reality. The Guajira community already has a better stability in the RTS tension levels. We also reached the Cesar department by improving the reliability, and we will expand to other departments in the Colombian Caribbean in coming months. Our purpose is to reach an optimal balance between an operational dynamic of our traditional assets and an integral management and the potentiality of new businesses. Before showing you the company's financial results, I would like to give you a general context of the industry. Colombia's power demand this year reached 2,624 gigawatts per year, showing a reduction of 1.8%, even though the regulated demand in the market, regulated demand, especially in the residential and small businesses, is growing at a rate of 0.5%. The commercial consumption is also decreasing at rates similar to 1%. This behavior has to do with contextual factors, but the demand forecast report that was posted by the UPM shows different demands at an expectation of growth at a range of 2.5% and 7.2%, with a median range of 4.7%. By the end of March, the water intakes reservoirs had a higher behavior to the historic average, which was 1.28% of the same. The reservoir levels were also at 59% of reusable volume. Both reservoirs shore in Panama, water release trend, which is common to the summer season. It's important to see the water consumption, energy in consumption. Last year, it was very impacted by the El Niño phenomenon, and we had high consumptions in some areas. For example, in ours, Valle del Cauca, there were high consumption, and the high temperatures made that both air conditioning and ventilators collapsed the network. We also need to adjust those elements. Anyway, we saw some decrease in the volume and the consumption of energy in Colombia. I would also like to show you the operational and financial results, which you will find more details in the quarterly report and the evaluation kit that we posted in the shareholders' website. In the first quarter, the consolidated results reached $742 million, which is lower if compared to the same period in 2016. Due to the Niño phenomena, we had a more terminal generation at a price that was much higher to that in 2016. The generation business in Colombia contributed to 36%. Transmission and distribution increased by 10%. And we would like to highlight the start of the commercial operation of the Cuestecitas substation, and also the commercialization businesses were similar to the first business of the previous year. Even though the consumer price index was positive, the energy demand was lower than expected during the quarter. The distribution and commercialization business provided 37% of the consolidated incomes. In Central America, we would like to highlight $62 million incomes, which is an increase of 6% and representing 24% of the consolidated incomes. The growth of these revenues was mainly because of the energy sales contract by Catiba, which provided approximately $6 million additional due to the contract sales price, which we have in that plant. The sales cost was for the first quarter $523 billion, which is 54% under what we had for the same period in 2016. In Colombia, we have an operation that works with a hydroelectric generation of 84%, and a thermal operation of 16%, which takes us to a reduction of the variable cost. Remember that the comparison here of the incomes and the cost for the quarter has to be, we have to be careful to see it based on in the light of the Niño phenomena. For the last year, our production was quite influenced because we were working at 100% of our thermal plants. So we have to be careful to analyze this. Anyway, the results in terms of generation were very interesting and very good. Additionally, in Central America, the sales costs were increased by 11% due to a more generation in Catiba and more fuel consumption. Additionally, we set up a major maintenance of the plant by Yalas Minas, which was performed during this first quarter. This led us to do a spot purchase to cover our contracts. That obviously had an impact in the first quarter in Latin America. You know, the first quarter was marked by some stock market prices somehow low, and the energy demand was below the expectations. We continue working with discipline and conviction to keep a stable and profitable operations. In the first quarter, EBITDA was $241 billion, which is 9.5% if compared to 2016. This, due to the provisioning of 100% of the accounts receivable that we had with Electrocaribe, before the intervention performed by the national government that took place in November last year, and that had figures represents about 15 billion pesos. This production had an impact in the whole quarter. Unfortunately, these amounts were trapped in the accounts receivable due to the intervention report. So I would like to highlight the good results in the EBITDA margin. For this quarter, it was 32.5%, which is almost 1,300 basis points over the same margin for the same period last year. If we remove the Electricaribe accounts receivable effect, it would be 34.5%, which is a level very close to the average historic margins, and that has a positive contribution from all the business to EBITDA. By going into detail, Colombia's generation contributed with $117 billion, transmission distribution with $71 billion, and Central American operations provided $16.4 billion. In the non-operational results, the financial spend had a reduction by 5%, mainly due to the reduction of the debt that we managed last year, and also by the reduction of the reference rates and a lower CPI. With all this, the net result for the first quarter shows a growth of $3 billion for the same period, if compared to the same period in 2006, moving from a loss from $8 billion last year to a profit of $22 billion. This is a recovery of 350 basis points in the margin. And then if we hadn't had the provision of Electricaribe, our revenue would be 37 billion, which would be very positive for what we usually have for the first quarter. Our company closed the quarter with a cash of higher than 432 billion, which is a valuable asset for the business as a result of the good performance, operational financial performance. I would like to highlight the management performed during the last 15 months to reduce the net debt leverage against EBITDA that is now 3.34% times if compared to 5.13 times we closed in 2015. Disciplined administration of the resources that were generated by the operation of the various businesses and geographies has allowed us to present a recovery, accelerated recovery of this indicator. From the end of 2015, and the debt has been reduced by 400 billion due to the business, diversified business in geographies, currencies, and technologies. This figure is clearly lower to the information that we had before El Niño phenomena. So when we look at the results, the margin, and the debt levels, now we are clearly, we're moving from the away from the phenomena Niño and in terms of indicators. Now let's go to the investments. In Colombia, we have executed investments by 68 billion up to March. 79% of these correspond to investment and growth in the strategic plan that the company has. 20% of this was for continuity of maintenance of the business of the generation distribution infrastructure business. And even though it looks low, only 1% has been devoted to investment in technology, support, and innovation. But we spent a lot in, we invest a lot in technology in the other fronts. So we have to include part of these costs in other investments. In terms of the investment for the continuity of maintenance of the business, these investments were focused mainly on the reposition, upgrading, and modernization of plants, generation plants, and the growth investments were also focusing on Plan 5 Caribe, and they added 34 billion. The first quarter of this year, we set into operation the Cuestecitas, Maicao, Roacho, Ayucar projects. It's very important. We did it on time and in budget. This gives us a lot of strength to continue working with the other projects that we are developing. These projects will also provide stability to the business flows as they do not depend on tariff changes in the next 25 years. So they will allow the growth of the EBITDA once they are built for the distribution business by 20%. In 18 months, we will reach an increase of 20% of the EBITDA growth. We also made investment by 6,700 million by the thermal district project for the Nuestro Montería shopping center. We hope for this month it should be in the preparative stage and performance test. We also invested 1,400 million in the functionality of the equipment, in upgrading the management systems and the management of the new control center that we are developing in Jumbo as part of the NOAA project. In Central America, the investments were $3.2 million, 88% of them corresponds to maintenance, replacement, and improvements of DBLM, and the rest corresponds to the maintenance performed in the other centrals, especially in Tumar, in Dos Mares, and the Guanacaste Eolic Park in Costa Rica. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about the construction of the solar farm in Jumbo, which is a project of 9.9 megawatts. We're starting the terrain stabilization tasks. We have finished the detailing engineering, and next week we shall start the building. The panels should be in the port, and all the equipment should be before the 20th of June. They should be in the port. And then by mid-May, we will start the building of installing all the infrastructure. Our engineering teams are making progress so that this farm is ready by September. This project makes us very happy and it put us as the leads of this technology in the year. Hopefully by the end of the year, you may be able to come so that you get to come to the farm park and all the control center that will enable us to develop all the dream or to develop all the projects that the company is dreaming about. Also, due to the 1715 law, we delivered the first solar roof that meets all these requirements. We did it in the La Reserva Shopping Center here in Antioquia. It's 96 modules. The installed capacity is 3.72 kilowatts. And this photovoltaic generation system will cover 50% of the demand, energy demand in common areas. And it also has integral services and service and maintenance required to use all this technology. These are the results of a Celsia that dreams, believes, and works for a more sustainable world. Before going to the social and environmental programs, I would like to mention some important tasks that we have for the coming months in the technical front. In Colombia, we have a program and maintenance for the combustion turbine number 2 for the free trade zone Celsia, and also the replacement of the generator in the same unit. We have in Central America some important changes as the major maintenance for all the Dos Mares units and the Eolic Park. We are also making the review and the maintenance of the aero generators. In the social and environmental front, our foundations, Celsians, have developed some very interesting projects. In San Luis and San Carlos municipalities, which are influence areas for the 2002 project, we did some improvements in energy and water to 8 schools. We made an investment for $743 million, and we benefited 147 kids. This is a very important piece of work for areas that are very far away and quite needed. We also provided 2,400 school kids in various areas in the country in Atlantico, Bolívar, Córdoba, and Guajira departments. Mocoa's tragedy, which was very impacting for the country, Celsius support was very, very important. Along with other companies, we managed to transfer a mobile substation that we usually use for maintenance or for failures. We moved it from Valle del Cauca, and this enabled us working with the national government, we made it possible to recover the electric service for the entire city. This was a very important piece of work. Let's say that this was an economical investment that we made, of course, and Celsia and EPSA worked together with those for those people who were suffered this tragedy. Additionally, we have internal campaigns so that every peso that the people of the company donates, the company provides another peso. So this is a commitment of solidarity with these people in Mocoa. We also transfer in the first quarter more than 5 billion pesos to 51 municipalities as an autonomous corporation due to the transfers that we have to do due to the sales of energy. This enables to the development of environmental programs and so that the municipalities have resources for their various needs. These investments are usually made by water drinkable water and basic cleansing and environmental improvement. Now we have planted almost 588,000 trees, and we should close by the end of this year with almost 1 million trees planted. The CVC will give us 500,000 trees so that we can plant them in the Reverdece. The CVC is the Environmental Autonomous Corporation, which is also our partner in Celsia. We have also identified all the places where we're going to do the plant. We're going to plant all these trees in 2016. All these progress are the result of our conviction and making sure of this is a sustainable company and good relationships with the community and the environment. This finishes the first quarter's report. We are very happy with the results. The margins are growing, the sales are very good, and the initiatives and development of the programs are also making good progress. So the dynamics of this organization feels quite positive. Now I open the floor so that we have Edgar Pidireita and our Jesús and Natalia with our investors team. So we are ready to take your questions. In this moment, we'd like to remind you, if you want to make a question, please dial the asterisk and number one key in your keypad if you want to make a question. First question is coming from Osvaldo Oliveira from La Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one has to do with the provisioning that you talked, that you mentioned in the report during the first quarter for operational costs. You talked about 15 billion related to the Electricaribe accounts receivable. I would like to know a little, to get a little bit more detail for this provision. And also, I would like to know if it has been all provisioned or if we have some provisioning remaining to be made. Okay, yes, Osvaldo. I'm going to ask Osvaldo to give you the details because these were the three companies that we had some exposure there, so he will give you some detail of that money. All the money has been provisioned. The total provisioning was close to 300 billion. These were the sales that are made in the stock market, and you don't know in the market who are you selling it to. So when you sell in the stock market, Electricaribe was the purchaser, and then obviously when we get the exposure, we learned that they were owning that money. So I don't know, Esteban, if you would like to go deeper into this topic. Yes. Osvaldo, the provisioning of these 15 billion, as Ricardo was saying, corresponds to all our operations. Most part of it corresponded to free trade, Celsius free trade area, which provided almost 15 billion. Then it was Celsius individual, that was mainly the sales made by Ingeléctrica to Electricaribe for almost 4 billion, and almost 1 billion that were part of Elsia. Everything has been provisioned. So regarding all the accounts receivable from the organization before the intervention of the country, everything has been provisioned, and this reflects all or takes care of all the provision, all the risks that we had taken in this moment. All the that we had with the Electricaribe has been now backed up by the payment scheme made by the superintendency, and now there are mechanisms that we can use to charge these differences that we have with them. Thank you so much. Next question is coming from Mark Haynes, BTG Factual. Good morning to everybody. Thank you for the presentation. I'm very glad to be with you today. I had four questions. The first has to do with Central America. We have a lower results due to the marginal consumption in the system and also due to the maintenance to a thermal plant. I would like to know what risks are you foreseeing for the next quarters or in the future due to the WTI price, which is increasing and may also increase the marginal cost of the system in Central America. I would like also to know what would be the EBITDA in Central America without the effect of this maintenance or the impact of this maintenance, and if you have more maintenance scheduled and what are the schedule for those maintenance. I would also like to know what would be the EBITDA net target, and how are you planning to reach that target. And to end, I would like to get some update of the Porvenir 2. What have you thought about the financing of this one, of this project? Well, if you like, I'm gonna do a little introduction about Central American Porvenir, and then some details will be covered by Esteban. Look, in Central America, the maintenance had been scheduled for the third quarter, but we took advantage of a failure that happened at the beginning of the year in Bahía Las Minas, and we accelerated the whole process, or we moved forward the whole process. So regarding the future of these assets is that we should have in the coming 9 or 8 months should be a more calm and fully operational environment, because the the maintenance has been done. That's in Bahía Las Minas. Los Mares is working very well. And what I expect is that the EBITDA in Central America is very close to what we have budgeted by the end of the year. If you look at the behavior of the month-by-month behavior that we had before the maintenance, we were doing very well in Central America. We were getting very good results. So what I would expect is that even though the behavior of the fuel prices, we should get an interesting behavior and good margin in that region. That, just to give you a little bit of context. But then, Esteban, if you'd like to close the chapter in Central America, then we talk about Porvenir. Yes. Look, Mark, Ricardo has been very clear. The maintenance was the reason why the result in Central America appears to be different to what we had last year. From the moment we reached, we have managed to schedule the plans of the maintenance plans. 2016 didn't have any maintenance, so we were expecting a lower result due to this activity. But we have compensated with more generation. So what we, based on what we are talking about, the perspective based on the WTI, we have to take into consideration that the balance of the contracts and the recovery of the generation we have managed to achieve, the risk is much lower than what we had in the past, when we were in the operation in 2014 with that behavior. We have scheduled an additional maintenance in the hydroelectric stations that needs to be performed. It will take about a month to fix some problems in the channels. We are still defining in which quarter this maintenance will have to be made, but this would imply 1 month of stop. We will try to do it with the best season regarding the market prices so that we get we don't affect that much the results, but, and that's what is pending to happen for this year. Okay. Let me talk about Porvenir. The Porvenir project, and let me just reflect upon what we are trying to do here. We are developing the activities common to the project of this stage, especially regarding the fulfilling the environmental licenses. This project is very special. It's 350 megawatts and generates some impact and social environmental and social impacts that we see are very positive for the region. I would like to give you two pieces of information. For this project, we're going to be using 540 hectares of forest, and we're going to protect and recover 5,600 hectares. So per each hectare that we're going to use in the reservoir, we're multiplying it by 10. So it's a very interesting project from the point of view of the conservation in an area that had violence problems in the past. And now this new stage for this region, the nation is enabling a lot of people to come to this area. And what we are seeing is that we see annual deforestation issues quite high. So if we come with this project that recovers 506,000 hectares, it's a very positive thing. And the other part is that we are also working on our program that are specialized in botanical and environmental topics, and we are also working on the herbal inventory for those 40 hectares that we are going to be using. So we have more than 40 species that we are in process of protecting, rescuing, and spreading. So this is a scientific work that we are developing around this project. And then in the social topic, the social impact that this project is going to give to community in terms of education, training, generation of jobs, and the support that we get from these communities is very positive. From the governor's office and the mayor's office, we have gotten a great support. So I wanted to make this introduction. The project is still working. We hope to get electromechanical and civil works so we can do the assessment with the board for this project and see if we can move forward to the next stage. And regarding the financial part, Esteban has done very interesting pieces of work with his team, and he has some important news to give us. Mark, regarding the market, there is a positive condition due to the financing of Porvenir. It's very attractive. Let's say that the first discussions that we have had, and as Ricardo is saying, we're working very together with the technical team to confirm the CAPEX and putting together the structures. Our financial structure, it should not have any additional resources, and the market has given us positive responses for long-term debts that have been, they have shown that we have, we're going to get these debtors for 18 years of deadlines, so it's very positive in terms of dollars and pesos. So we believe that, as Ricardo was saying, we're going to get good news for this project. Thank you so much. And finally, you were asking about the debt. Yes. Let's see how we're going to reach that target. An important part of this plan that we started during the Niño phenomena was the leveraging, not only to maintain and accelerate the reduction of our indicators, but also to reinforce the message of this contextual situation of El Niño that was not included in our long-term structure. This year, as you saw it in relevant information that we published from ELSA a couple of weeks ago, we were able to work in the Borne programs, which is the bonus programs, and we reduced our debt by 85 billion pesos. We have the mortgaging of the debt structuring for the free trade area in Central America, the information we also have for Pucuan. So we are continuing to pay this debt this year, and this is a very important part on how we're going to continue reaching our target. The target for this year is going to be of EBITDA between 3.3 and 3.4. Part of that is because of the increase for this quarter for Electricaribe. That is going to be very important for this year, so that our operations, especially for the big ones in Caracolí, Barranquilla, that are going to be ready for operation next year. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Mark. Next question is coming from Juan Camilo from Porvenir. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one has to do with if you could please give us a little bit of context in terms of the reduction of the EBITDA if compared to the previous year due to the reliability and the hydric intakes that were compared to the first EBITDA of the first quarter last year. And I would like to ask if you have some figures regarding the reimbursement for the Plan 5 Caribe. Thank you, Juan Camilo. Esteban. Look, Juan, the reduction, if compared to the previous year, has to do with several things. First was the Central America effect, as Ricardo described during the teleconference. The effect is meaningful because of the stop of Bayalas Minas. We have good news regarding the deviation of the charge, because in the first quarter last year, we had the problem of the Unit 2 in February, so that's showing the recovery in the figures. We expected that was much higher because the first quarter usually matched summer season, and the transition towards winter in March. But then we all are aware of the fact that 2017 started with a very humid summer. Stock market was much lower than expected. And the prices were about 115 and 117. So this effect was not expected, and this was the effect that prevented Central America to recover the normal operation after the sinister that we had, and the EBITDA was much better. So this part of the hydrological and the stock market situation didn't allow us to recover much of it as we were expecting for this quarter, as I was saying, due to Central America and the free trade Celsius effects. Regarding the Plan 5 career disbursements, we expect there are about 200 billion pesos. Approximately, that's what we should disburse for all 2017. And the total investment should be about 470 billion. So we are going to fund about 300 billion, and the rest is coming from the company's flow. And those 200 are coming from the 2017. Okay, thank you so much. Next question is Diego Vitrago from Bancolombia. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Two questions. First one has to do with if you could please give us an upgrade of the CapEx and the total investment for 2017. Esteban has mentioned for something for Plan 5 Caribe, and then if we can take a look at the other regions and businesses. And the second part is to understand the business of the solar farm and to know if there is still a plant that is going to be managed centrally, or if there are some contracts, or what expectations we have regarding new projects for solar panels. Okay. Before Esteban, you start giving details regarding the investment, something that is very important here that we perhaps have not emphasized during this conference is that the new businesses are typically generators of better EBITDA margins than the traditional businesses that we have. So when you look at the combination and how what we're dreaming in Celsius for the next 3 years, when all these new businesses that are very small in this moment, but they are quite well developed, they have a very interesting impact in the increasing of the margins. So for you to start understanding these investments should improve the margins. Let me give you two pieces of information for the solar panels, which is something that is very important. In this company, we believe that the solar topic has to come into the country. We know that there are issues in certain points, regulatory, competition. We're working very hard so that Celsius leads this field and leads it with a profitable business and that provides brings a lot to the customers. Regarding solar roofs, we have more than 112 customers with contracts. That is more than 40 megawatts in solar roofs. We're in the process of installing all these roofs. That's a hit. But it's also a challenge, a huge challenge from the operational perspective. We're working with a super team in the solar topic. All the organization is focusing on this as well so that we can have a solar division that is well-structured and that is quite fast for all the way. The process has been very slow. Getting permission or asking a request takes about 6 months. So we're working with the different organizations so that we can accelerate these processes. So this is for you to understand that the solar process is moving in Colombia. Regarding the solar farms, there is going to be a combination. We see a lot of interest from different customers so that we make long-term contracts because they want to use 100% solar energy. So we're talking with different customers, we're giving them different proposals, and as we move forward, we will tell you a little bit more about that. Now, Esteban, why don't you give Diego a little bit of perspective in terms of the investments?
Sure. Diego, this year, I believe that our CapEx should be between 700 and 800 billion pesos. Now, how can we split that CapEx? It's a split in the following way. We have 200 billion for CapEx for regular upgrading and maintenance activities for the business in all the geographies, for the distribution business and the generation business in Colombia and Panama. We also have about 300 billion pesos in the Plan 5 Caribe. As we were saying before, this is the peak year for the CapEx because we had Valledupar and Montería starting points, and the other three projects are going to be well advanced that are scheduled to start operations next year. So this is the peak year for the CapEx deployment. Regarding the new businesses, the thermal districts and the solar panels, we're going to deploy a little bit less, about 100 billion pesos. We have in our business for NOVA some other investments or some other CapEx. We have some other different activities to make our technological activity much higher, so it would be about 700 and 800 billion pesos. Now, I just mentioned when I was answering about the Plan 5 Caribe, the investments, I would like to mention that the whole infrastructure has been hired with some leasings, operational leasings that are giving away the monies, and they have well-structured long-term conditions, so that should not have an impact on our cash, but as they have been well-structured from the financial perspective. And then regarding the solar farm, this is less than 10 megas with dispatch, and it has a lower plant this benefits. So it's because of the amount and user regulation, there have not been changes, and this has been something we are asking to modify. But then there is no associated contract. They're going to be part of the energy mass that we as generators have to provide to our customers. It's 16 gigas per year from the 3,500 that we produce with the hydroelectric plants. So these are going to strengthen this portfolio, and they're going to go to all our customers in all our contracts. Okay, thank you. I had an additional question, and that is related to an update regarding the regulatory topics. What is the progress on the review of the prices, maybe also distribution and transmission, and also now that we're discussing the incorporation of the non-conventional renewable funds to a generation park, perhaps you have more information from the regulator. What updates can you give us?
Sure. We're working very hard, the different sectors with the regulator and the government and with the ministry, because we are very concerned on how the way of Resolution 016 is moving, which is the one that regulates this information for the next 5 years. The good intention of the government to improve the quality and accelerate the flow of the investment in this sector, this is generating some conditions that in the long term are not the best, so that we can achieve this, so that they can achieve this objective. We have very positive discussions. We still need to have put our customers first. Our sales and our distribution companies is the company with the best indicators in the country. 600,000 customers in El Cauca, they have given us the best indicators as lowest amount of interruptions. So for us, quality is part of our structure. So we are fully supporting any regulatory focus, but also making sure that the incentives are also good for the business.
So that's something we're still discussing with them. In terms of the reliability charges and the prices, we are expecting, hopefully in the coming months, to get the definite regulation on this topic. And we hope that the observations that we have made to the regulator and to the various actors of this process are heard or considered, so that we guarantee the financial stability and the system stability that has proven to be very efficient. So the lack of balance that we found in the last Niño, that was not caused by the lack of energy, but was caused by the famous lack of alignment between the prices and the cost of the fuel for the thermal. So that's something we can eliminate from the equation, and the system goes back to normality. That's our expectation. Nevertheless, let me remind you that in Celsia we have a great advantage, and that is that as the Cartagena plant starts working, we will not use liquids. So nowadays, with the current prices, we should not have that financial risk or the financial impact that we had in the last year. So this company has already been shielded from this with this long-term commitment with this because of the plant. So we're making good progress in these two fronts. And then there are some backup chargers and renewable energies. We are aligned with the ANDI and the industrial sector and with the different actors in the sector so that we have some backup chargers proper so that they facilitate the entering this type of energy in the distribution process. But as everything, Diego, we have issues that need to be surpassed as we move forward. But we're making good progress. Thank you so much. Next question is coming from Andres Sanchez from Corbanca. Good morning. Thank you so much for the presentation. My question has to do, or I would like to clarify, that in the fourth quarter we saw that the Niño phenomena had said was to expose less to the long-term provision and to make sure that the company was not going to offer that. I would like to know if this policy will remain or this trend is going to continue for 2017. So that is, if we are going to get less lower long-term contracts, and then if this policy is going to be expanded to Panama, which is different to Colombia, but what we see is that we have more contracts provision in this region. So that's my question. Okay, Andres. Andres has made perhaps there is a different perception to what we have here in terms of the contracting, and then let me explain how this policy works so that everything or everybody's clear on this. And then we can explain what the strategy is for the future Niños and what we are planning to do. Okay. There are no more adjustments. Let me answer this question. There are no more adjustments. The adjustments to the contracting or hiring volumes have already been made after what happened with Niño and what the policy was set. What we have decided was not to develop any active contractual activity for the thermal plants. That's what we left as participating in the support market and the different auxiliary services that we provide. And our lower commercial policy is associated to the hydroelectrical energy and to the solar energy that is going to be part of the portfolio. So the adjustments have already been made during 2016, and the results were evident in 2017 because of the reduction of the volume of for sales in contract sales. That's for Colombia. Panama is quite a different contract. Panama is a market in which the contract is the main mechanism to sell energy. It's a contract different to Colombia's contracts. It's only used with the CPI. In Panama, they use some different indexation formulas that move the variable cost to the customer and get incomes or revenues from other sites. So the idea in Panama is to keep assets hired from a competitive perspective and to be efficient in keeping our costs low and take advantage of the contextual situation of the share markets. There are different realities because they are different markets. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Andres. There are no more questions, so we allow you to please give your final comments. Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. Celsia keeps transforming the company. This is a very interesting journey to provide very interesting services to our customers, to be the best company in the country, and to start using these new technologies. We hope you like these topics. You're joining us, and we thank you a lot for being ready, for listening to our news and developments. Thank you so much. This concludes the conferences today. Thank you for your participation. Now you can disconnect.